Silent acting. Clap, clap, clap.
This is Terrifier 2.
Alright. So silly.
So, did you figure out what you're dressing up as tomorrow?
He wants to dress up as a real guy who murdered 9 people last year.
Oh, you're not doing that.
That's just a costume.
You think that guy's still out there?
What's up with you and this clown all of a sudden? You're like obsessed.
They never found his body. What if he decides to come back here?
I wouldn't worry about it.
Wait a minute. Aren't you that guy from the costume shop?
Sir, what are you doing?
It wasn't me.
He was covered in blood on his shirt and his hands when he got here.
I'm telling you, it was him, Allie. Right down to the little black dot on the tip of his nose.
You're really weird, you know that?
I believe him.
About what? Something really bad's gonna happen tonight.
No, I know when Jonathan's lying, okay? I could hear it in his voice. Something's wrong.
Look, we're gonna have fun. Mm-hmm. Stress-free environment.
Yep.
Speaking of surprises, kids, we have a very special guest with us today. All the way from Miles County, please welcome Art the Clown.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Bela Lugosi's Undead. I'm AJ.
And I'm Spooky Ryan.
And today we are talking about the terrifying, the disgusting, the making people vomit in the movie theaters.
Whoa.
Terrifier 2.
That actually happened?
Oh, for real, yeah. Definitely happened.
Wow.
So, we are hot off the Fangoria Chainsaw Awards, where Terrifier 2 absolutely cleaned up house, and I feel like it's an important thing to go ahead and acknowledge that,
yeah,
as it has clearly taken over part of the horror culture.
Yeah, absolutely. It kind of makes me nervous though, right? Because kind of going back to like gore porn, it is a slasher, right?
Yes,
but
but it's a different kind of slasher than I think that we've seen in a while,
right?
And it's interesting to have it releasing the same year as something that's more traditional,
yeah,
like X.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Having that contrast of two, like, you know, two movies like that is interesting.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. So we're definitely here to talk about Terrifier 2, the newest film from Damien Leone.
Yeah.
So Damien Leone has really for more than a decade been making sure that his iconic character, Art the Clown, gets the biggest entrance into like horror iconography. And at this point, it's kind of impossible to deny that that's what this is.
Yeah.
Like, what was your first experience with Art the Clown? Because he's now, like, literally everywhere.
Yeah, I have not seen All Hallows Eve, but I did see Terrifier. And so I saw the original Terrifier, which, like, the kills are awesome in Terrifier, right?
Yeah.
I think, actually, the kills are much better than Terrifier 2.
I would agree.
Like chainsawing a person in half, like I said to your wife, it's from taint to skull. Like, oh. And she's like, Ryan, I love you.
Terrifier is definitely one of those franchises that kind of sprung up, and it is like a real grassroots one because of stuff like that, because the kills are so violent that even if you were just like a soft fan of horror, you started to hear about them. And now, you know, you have the original short all the way back in, like, I think it was like 08, 09, and then All Hallows Eve, and then Terrifier, and now you have Terrifier 2. Even though this is like the technically like the third or fourth entry in the Art the Clown franchise, right?
Yeah.
Then you also have him popping up. I remember I texted you when I was watching the show in Pete Davidson's new show Bupkis. His character goes to rehab and starts having visions, Okay. And one of the visions is Eli Manning, and then the next one is Art the Clown.
Oh, yeah, you were telling me about that.
So it's like this character
it's
has
like
now
coming into pop culture.
That's the thing. He's now transcended the genre in a way that's kind of impossible to ignore.
Right.
That people are starting to recognize him almost like he's like a new horror icon. And it's been a minute since we've had that kind of happen.
No, absolutely. I can't think of another icon that's ever really come out like that.
We've definitely had the one-offs. Like you have Maxine popping up in X.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it was like an instant icon, but then you have her returning to play Pearl in both X and in Pearl.
Right.
You know, you've got a lot of people. Like, I guess Jigsaw is like the most recent icon that's like a newly created
the
one.
The doll, I guess, would be like.
I guess
you'd
say, yeah, maybe Annabelle. Yeah. But there's just
no, the Jigsaw doll, the face.
Oh, yes. But like there's just not very many of them. And so when you see something like this breakthrough, especially when it's on such a small scale, that's even more interesting.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, I would say like the last real slasher icon probably be Scream.
Right? Yes, Ghostface would definitely be like a true slasher icon. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because all the other ones that we've just mentioned, most of them are in exorcism, like paranormal movies. They're not
exactly.
They're not necessarily like a slasher.
Yeah, that's true. We've got a new slasher icon that sort of popped up. And then sort of looking at it, like, you know, talking about the classic slashers and all of those, like, seems like, you know, Terrifier is sort of a natural progression of the slasher genre. Like, making it more extreme and intense, right?
Yeah, almost, because it is like a blending of that Jigsaw, Saw mentality with, like, a Freddy. Or with a Jason, where they just like are relentless. They'll go to whatever ends to kill whoever.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they kill people who you don't believe deserve it. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the things I really caught out of this is there's a lot of characters in this particular entry that I cannot say they deserve to die the horrible deaths.
The horrible deaths. Also, her friend are just horrible. But let's do the what is it, 60 seconds, 90 seconds?
90-second plot description. So go ahead, Ryan. Whenever you're ready, we'll go ahead and we'll start that timer.
All right. So they're in this town, and it opens up with Art the Clown killing a doctor and him, like, gurgling into a phone with the police. Art the Clown slowly escapes, and now he's in the laundromat, and he is cleaning his clothes butt naked in this laundromat. Then he sees this creepy little girl. And they start doing patty cake, which he's butt naked playing with this girl. I just want to mention that. But then he goes and he's cleaning in the laundromat and they take his clothes out. And then it opens up with our characters. There's this mom who just is overwhelmed. I don't like saying that someone's a bad mom, but she's a bad mom. She like abuses. She slaps her kid in the face. Like, so anyway, so we go through all these things. She has her friends. Her friends are all shitty. This poor girl has no one in her life that is a real good person. Like, you know, so and
no,
then no. So they're worried about the son, and the son is a true crime aficionado, like many of us probably all are. And the mom's super worried, and they go to the classroom, and they are fucking with the possum. She gets in trouble, and then Art the Clown throws the possum at him, and now we kick off the Art the Clown coming after him. So it goes
seconds.
Through. God damn it. Okay, we go. And he's starting to kill people all over the place. And he cuts up Allie and fucks her up and rips her head off. Now they're in a clown thing and they go and they're in like this haunt. And then she cuts his head off. And then there's the fucked up girl from the first movie and she births the head of Art. And they walk in and then he's there with their head and they're smiling.
Yeah, I mean, yes. that is, you're a little over 90 seconds, but there's this, like, even the problem with, I think, Terrifier 2 out the gate that I think we want to address is that we feel like this movie's a little long.
Oh, my gosh.
Coming in at, like, 2.5 hours.
Right.
I think more than any other aspect of the movie, that sort of begins to wear on you a little bit.
Yeah.
Where I think that the sweet spot for a slasher is 80 to 100 minutes.
Right.
And we are, like... We're on our way to like a 150 minute watch.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where I'm trying to weigh my feelings on it because as a critic, I want to knock it for that.
Sure.
But then also as a critic, I went fucking ape shit for John Wick 4, which is the same thing, but an action movie.
Yeah.
So I guess the question is, to me, is the visceral action of John Wick more enjoyable to watch than the gory, gory, absolutely like vile bloodlust that Art goes on? I think that's really where it comes down to me, where I do not really enjoy watching these kills in Terrifier after a certain point.
Sure.
Like, I've seen grosser things in life, unfortunately, but I'm not exactly like thrilled to return to that level of gore.
Yeah.
And it's at a level that's like, I can only think of a few movies that have ever gotten that violent.
Yeah.
Like, I'm thinking of like the Hellraisers.
Sure.
Obviously the other Terrifier movies.
Yes.
But there's just not a lot like that. So that's where I kind of start to waver on it a little bit. I think that what they're doing is impressive, but I also think it is so bloody and gory that it eventually is like, okay, like this is overload.
Yeah. I think when I watched the first, so the biggest thing when I watched the first movie, it's like, what, an hour and 30 minutes. And I was like, this could have been a 30-minute short, and I would have been very happy with it. But Terrifier 2 is a better, quote-unquote, movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's, like, a character and a protagonist, and you're, like, rooting for the characters to, like, win, and you feel connected to the characters. They built that really well. I feel really bad. I think a lot of the actors were not good. Like, so the mom,
it doesn't make it easy. It makes it harder to stay in those scenes. Now, the one person who we definitely cannot fault at all for any of this,
right?
And I think that this really speaks to their talent, is David Howard Thornton as Art the Clown.
Yeah,
he is so good as Art that it kind of warps the entire feeling when you watch the movie.
Yeah,
that he is so singular in how creepy and scary he is.
Yeah,
that
it's kind of fucked up. They don't have any acting categories for like that type of stuff because he definitely should have won a Chainsaw Award, and he did.
Yeah, it is odd that that's the one thing that it didn't win, right?
Yeah,
the Chainsaw Awards. I mean, like, yeah, they gave a bunch of awards to this movie, except for that category. I'm double checking. They didn't count him in lead actor, which is where I would have assumed he would belong.
Yeah.
He's not a supporting character because he's in it way too much. So, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what an interesting, you know, what else is he in, though? Like, what else does he do? Because I wonder if he could have won an eyeball award or whatever.
So, funny enough, he played the Grinch in The Mean One.
Okay.
Which is essentially Terrifier, but now that the Grinch is in the public domain, it's just like
fuck with it. Is that why the Winnie the Pooh movie came out?
Yes.
What is wrong with our brains? Like, so we're like, okay, Winnie the Pooh gets in the public domain. You know what we need?
Blood and Honey. Yeah, no. If you look over his most recent performances, even when he's not in a Terrifier movie, he is Art the Clown, like Art the Clown in Bupkis, Art the Clown in Mistress Peace Theater, Art the Clown in Terrifier. So,
yeah,
he's done some other things, not a ton of things.
Yeah.
And then even in his upcoming stuff, it looks like he's playing a new character in something called The Dead Place. Mm. And it might be an animated movie or something.
Okay.
Anyway. Oh, no, he looks like he's a scary monster. Never mind.
He is a scary monster. That's what he does. That's his brand.
But so, to be fair, though, there are other actors who have made entire careers based off of that. The one that immediately comes to mind is the guy who is in all of the Guillermo del Toro movies. It's Doug Jones.
Okay.
Yeah. So he also has made a career out of playing monsters. So there's definitely a lane for that.
Yeah.
And I think that he's really good in this movie. Like, I think even though I may not always enjoy the other parts of it, he's undeniably in character the whole time. And it's a silent performance. That's the other thing that's so interesting about it.
Absolutely. To do that as a silent performance is like pretty intense, right?
I was
able to capture an audience like that.
It's funny because like I'm following along with another podcast that I listen to, and they're doing a series on Buster Keaton. It's called the Blank Check Podcast.
Okay.
And I've now watched like 12 Buster Keaton movies in the last like 3 weeks. And so it's very interesting to see that versus Terrifier 2, which like is also using all the same techniques that like somebody like Buster Keaton is using. Just in this case, it's gory as heck all around him.
Wow. Yeah, that's interesting. So what's your first time that you came into the Terrifier series or got in contact with Art the Clown?
So I have seen All Hallows Eve.
Ah, how was it?
It is pretty good. I actually think it might be my favorite of the three things so far. It doesn't have Thornton in it, if I remember correctly. But Art is still terrifying. Like he is a genuinely very scary character. And And so I do think it's a really good entry into the character. And really sets up the headspace.
You know, just thinking about like sort of having a conversation, like what, I mean, it's kind of an interesting conversation to have as horror fans in general. Like, you know, we have this movie and another movie we're going to cover soon with like Evil Dead Rise. Mm-hmm. Right. And the big thing is like this level of violence.
Yes.
That we're seeing in movies. Like what is going on right now?
So there's something to be said about the fact that I think that we are almost hitting that point in horror where we've seen so many violent things that there's almost like a desensitization amongst some audience members.
Sure.
And the only way to really break through is either really, really high concept ideas or by getting really extreme in how you use your gore. That's crazy. Those are the things that like spark word of mouth or get people talking about your movie.
Right.
And with something like Evil Dead Rise, it's more expected because that film franchise has always been extremely bloody.
Yes.
But something like Terrifier 2 does kind of sneak up on people because it is small. It's made for like $100,000.
Right.
And so once you're playing, especially in the case of Terrifier 2, where they, I believe they started like a GoFundMe and they got the money to make the movie. I think they ended up getting like something like $400,000 or something like that to make the movie. And because of something like that, they need to make sure that people are coming into the movie ready to watch it. And they're driving enough people to make sure that all the people who gave them money are seeing somewhat of a return on investment. And even if it's not a return on investment, it's then making sure that those people are satisfied with the product they're seeing. Because if you promise something giant and crazy and bloody, you know, you need to match that. And so, I think that's one of the reasons why.
That's interesting. And it's kind of like it feels like it's kind of like what happened in the 2000s with horror movies, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, you and I have often railed against how bloody some of those movies in the 2000s were.
Right.
And I think that now we've almost hit the inverse point where so many movies are like using horror iconography to try to like get a rise out of its audience that when they don't go the full way that they're leaving audiences disappointed. And so you don't have to worry about that in a Terrifier movie.
That's true.
You don't like even something like, for example, like Black Phone,
right
is extremely violent on its face.
Right,
there still are several kills in that I would say are wildly violent.
True.
But when you hear this is a movie about somebody who kills a bunch of children, you don't actually see most of those kills.
Right.
You just are taught that they occurred.
Yes.
So even though like there's the air of violence around the movie, it's not visually on screen. So I think that the same audiences that went for something big like Hostel or some of the later Saw movies have not been served. And so finally something is serving them on that level.
Yeah.
And that's how you get a phenomenon to occur, right? There are horror fans who prefer the more extreme, gory side of it. You and I usually don't.
Yeah.
But I think that Terrifier 2 is speaking to, at this point, an underserved part of the population.
Yeah,
There's also something to be said about the fact that because studios are producing so many horror films now, that it's flooding the market and it's even harder to break through. And again, like when there's so many horror movies, what do you do to stand out?
Yeah.
And you have to push the limits.
Yeah.
And a 2-hour and 20-minute version of that is pushing the limits.
That is true. In
a big way. And I was double checking it. It is an 85 minute movie the first time around. It is 2 hours and 18 minutes this time.
Yeah.
So an extra.
And the first movie felt too long because I just watched it.
Yeah.
The first movie legitimately felt too long. I was like, I could have done a 30 minute YouTube short and I would have been like pumped about this movie. But this movie actually was a movie, right?
That's the thing. Like you said, there is a plot on here, right?
Yeah.
I think that this is where we do have to bring up some of the other characters. Like,
sure.
For example, we should probably talk about how Laura Lavera, yeah, as mm-hmm. Sienna, has also broken out in a pretty big way.
Mm.
Like, what did you think of her performance as the main girl in Terrifier 2?
I thought she did very well. Right, I feel like she was the actor. I feel like the kid was pretty okay too, but all the other actors like were fine. But she really drove the whole performance home, and I don't think the movie would be what it is without her. Right,
but it just shows 100% agree with that. Yes,
and it also shows like the drop off you have in acting quality, right? As you like get into those more B movies, right? It's just interesting to see how hard it is actually to be an actor.
Well, especially when you have, in a lot of her scenes, she is acting against nothing because I doubt that there were too many moments where she was on set, where she was face to face with Art the Clown.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure there were some, but I also know that there were a lot of shots where it was just Art by himself.
Yeah.
Reacting to something or it's just Art, like, when you have that much makeup, they may not be shooting on set at the same time.
Right.
That's just a reality of the situation. And so the fact that she is as good as she is pretty remarkable. Now, that there obviously cool. are a lot of scenes where they are interacting a lot.
Yeah.
And she also needs to be absolutely covered in blood makeup as well. So she's got her own stuff that she's being, that she's getting on. But I don't know. It was just, to me, she did bring a pathos to the role. She is good.
Yeah.
And it does present the series with its final girl, right? If we if it wants to fall into some of these tropes to service the fan base who's excited about the gore,
right?
It's also going to play into something like the final girl trope. And she does a good job of it.
Right.
She seems like a badass.
Yes.
I know that Leone was quoted multiple times saying he always had a vision about Art facing off against an angel, and obviously he brings that to life in this movie.
Yeah,
and so clearly this was something that was on his mind for a while, and it was just finding the actual mode to let it out.
And, what an interesting take, though, too, because it was like more of like a Valkyrie than an angel, right?
I would agree with that. I agree it's more Valkyrie-esque.
Yeah, what a fascinating take, though, that he's always wanted that. I like how they dug into the demon aspect of Art. Right, that he's like a demon, and even in the like church, it like shows him as like in his true form or whatever, which is kind of cool. In the stained glass windows,
right,
which is kind of interesting. So, yeah, I don't know. I like the Art character. He's fascinating. Like the fact that he, you know, even when he's being stabbed and stuff, like he cannot talk. Right.
Yes.
He like has no ability to scream, but he's screaming. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't happen. It's so fucking creepy.
Like, it is really creepy. It is actually like almost more unsettling that he doesn't scream when he gets stabbed by other characters.
Right. So I think that some of the IMDb factual errors are pretty fucking funny and nitpicky.
Yes.
They're like the acid that he's using would actually burn through glass. So and there's some chemist out there really pissed about that. So, and then the other one is that they were wearing NYPD uniforms. So,
I mean, okay, whatever. Like, I know there's some crazy nitpicks, like stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, let's also talk about, I think, one of the more surprising scenes in the entire movie has to be the alley death scene, aka the bedroom scene. Where
the Chainsaw Award.
So it won the best kill at the Chainsaw Awards this year.
Right.
Basically what happens, and we're going to try to keep it relatively light in case you want to watch the movie or in case you don't want to hear about how gory it is. Mm-hmm. But essentially a girl is brutalized and murdered and then does not die despite being essentially skinned alive.
Right.
And it is like such an intense level of gore.
Yeah.
That's the scene that I imagine was causing the faintings and the vomiting.
Yeah, that's got to be it.
I can't imagine what else it would possibly be.
Yeah.
So what did you kind of think about when you were watching that scene, Ryan? Like, were you surprised that it got as crazy as it did?
No. I had expected it because I saw the first one, right? You know, Taint the Skull. Like,
true enough.
But like when I saw it, I was like, you know, I think in that I expected it, and I also, you know, like it was like, oh, here we go. Like that's how I felt. Like it's happening.
Yeah.
And then you know, I mean, I guess you don't want to talk too much about it, but like the salt and the bleach, it's pretty fucked up.
Yeah, I think that's the part where it pushed too far for me.
Yeah.
Where we are beyond like a kill that's enjoyable. Like we are in the point where it is frankly very almost like upsettingly vindictive against the character for no reason.
Yeah, and sadistic,
right? I'm not saying that you can't have these moments in movies.
Right.
I'm one of the people who does not mind that the poor girl in Jurassic World gets eaten by a fucking Mosasaurus.
Right.
Like, I'm like, yeah, shitty things happen to shitty people sometimes. Right. Like, nobody deserves it. Like, that's not the point. At the same time, 5 minutes straight of girl getting tortured and screaming is a lot. It's a lot to observe. Yeah. And then for her to not be dead at the end of it is the real part that is, like, upsetting.
Yeah.
Where she's, like, wildly,
mutilated.
Yes. So I think that's the part that really pushed me over the edge with the bleach and the salt.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know anyone that is, I mean, that's like happy about that, you know? I mean, I know that there's horror fans out there that like that. And when I was watching Evil Dead Rise, we'll talk about that in another episode, like I was like, yes. Like, you know what I mean? So I know that feeling. I just didn't get that when I was watching that kill. I was like, this is too far. This is fucked up. Like,
yeah. And I also think that there's something to be said. You know, the Chainsaw Awards are voted on by an audience.
Right.
I think it's really good that there is a devoted core group of fans that are willing to support stuff like this.
Yeah.
And the fact that they were able to push it over the top to win 4 awards at the Chainsaw Awards says everything. Yeah. Right. Especially when you talk about it in the context of Fangoria is, you know, one of the most famous magazines in horror movie history.
Yeah.
And this movie came and was distributed by Bloody Disgusting, which is an emerging website of horror stuff.
Yeah.
And has continued to emerge and help make the VHS movies and all of that. So they're becoming like a legitimate powerhouse production company for low budget horror films.
Yeah. And podcasts.
And podcasts. Mm-hmm. And so it's a good thing that they're able to get the support. And then even get this recognition from other organizations within the culture.
Yeah.
I'm happy that it's found its audience. I'm happy for everybody involved. I'm happy for Leone for being able to make this movie. It just doesn't always, it just goes a little far in my book.
No, I hear it. I mean, I'm right on board. And like the big thing are we going to have like, was it Barbara Bush or Nancy Reagan like coming out and like railing on violence? Like,
yeah, Jill Biden's like, guys, this Terrifier movie, it's too much. I'm just now imagining an AI Joe Biden voice being like, guys, come on. Buddy, we need to calm down.
What is it? Corn pot?
Come on, corn pot. Listen, Art the Clown, not a good guy.
Not a good guy.
But anyway, I'm just now mad. God, an AI Joe Biden ranting about Earth the Clown. Oh boy.
Oh, AI. Yeah. So what else, Sage? What are you thinking?
Well, I think that the biggest thing about this movie that I think we last seem to talk about is how it's clearly setting up for future movies.
Yes.
So what do you want out of a continued Terrifier franchise?
Oof. I don't know. This is the thing that was actually interesting to me that I would love more information on, is this demon aspect of art.
Yes.
In this world of good versus evil, and Leone's sort of take on all of that, right? Because clearly I mean, he's not really worried about going to hell. So what is this demon, like, demon versus angel stuff? What does that mean to him, right? You know what I mean? And, like,
Yeah, it is an interesting point, because there is very clearly, like, a religious undertone to the movie.
Yeah.
Which is surprising, because that is not something that I caught in the first few movies. Maybe I just missed it. But that was not where I thought this franchise was going. Right. So are we going to get like an Art Goes to Hell kind of movie?
Maybe.
Is my big question.
I want more backstory, right? I want more like understanding of what art is. Like, what is a demon in this Terrifier world that is like kind of we're moving more to a secular society, right? What is a demon?
True. Then there's also the whole issue with the pale girl, right? The little girl. Yes. So
excellent addition. I loved her.
I think that she's really, really upsettingly scary.
Yes.
In a way that like very few child actors can be. The only other time I've seen anything even remotely as scary from a child in like the last like 10 years was in Lovecraft Country. Mm. The Emmett Till episode, there are two little children that are playing racial stereotypes as like demons and chasing down another character. Yeah. And it's like really upsetting.
Yeah.
That's the only other thing that's come close to this. Mm. She is freaky. Like she like is upsettingly scary. And I wonder if there's a plan to like almost like expand the Art the Clown family. It seems like it. When you have a post-credit scene like the one they have.
Yes.
Which apparently, by the way, was an altered shot. The original version of that scene was a Malignant-esque sequence where Art was growing out of the character instead of giving birth to the Now, we're not saying anything specific about the character in question who is giving the birth, but that is also an important part.
Yeah. So I think that's another fucked up thing with the, like, this person survived, like, she survived his thing and now she's all mutilated and fucked up. Like, that's
longer have that spoiler.
Oh, sorry. Well, no, people know because at the end of the first movie, she's all fucked up and everything too. And
True enough.
Yeah, so you see that at the end of the movie.
Yep. So they clearly have plans to keep going. The question is, will this level of violence get old at some point, or is this just going to continue to be a niche thing? Is this going to be something that, like, its hardcore group of fans are going to go see it every time it comes out?
Right.
And that's going to be enough to survive it? Or is it going to have to revert to, like, streaming only at some point? I'm curious. I'm really curious because everybody involved is really talented.
Yeah.
And I want them to get a bigger platform, but at the same time, are they going to be happy with these low budget movies, or are they going to be able to scale up?
No,
I'm really curious about that.
And I think the difference between this and the early 2000s is that there's so much choice, right? In the early 2000s, we had the movies, right?
It's true.
Blockbusters with budgets were pretty much the only thing that could make it.
Yeah.
And now with so much choice, I don't know if horror is going to take a dip again like it did.
And that's the other thing, right? Like, you also have so many people using horror as their way into the industry now to, like, catch people's eye. You have people continually creating new ideas. I mean, this is the first time you and I are recording over Zoom.
Right.
But Host came out during the pandemic, and it was a Zoom horror movie.
Right.
And now, what, 3 years, 4 years later, that person is now directing The Boogeyman for Sony. But it's coming out, like, for Searchlight, I think.
Yeah.
And so that's, like, a big-budget horror movie from the guy who made a movie on Zoom computers, like, 3 years ago.
So cool.
As long as people are continually finding new ways to be inventive, I'm not worried about this team working in their corner with their makeup effects and their awesome visual effects.
And you know what else? Like, if you look at it from those big budget movies, just from an economic standpoint, right? Like, if you can create a low budget movie and get on a streaming service, you can prove to a big budget thing that you're worth it.
Right.
Whereas before, they didn't have that. The big budget places didn't have that option. right?
It's true. It's true.
It was just like, okay, you have a script and you give them a script and they have to just trust that you're going to be able to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And there's also something to be said about Terrifier 2 ending up on Screambox and not on Shudder. Yeah. So for those of you who are unaware, Screambox is another streaming service that caters to horror fans.
Bastards. And why are they doing this to us?
Yeah. I've been able to access it through my Amazon Prime, but you have to pay the monthly fee to add the channels. But they've been adding slowly some really interesting stuff. Like they also have, I believe, the It documentary and the Chucky documentary went to Screambox. So having multiple horror streaming services alone proves that there's
a market.
Exactly.
So the big question is Shudder on the downslide and is Screambox on the up?
God, that's a terrifying question.
I know.
I want to say that the thing that worries me about Shudder is more that its parent company seems to want to push AMC Plus and at the expense of everything else.
Yeah.
And as much as I love the programming on AMC, you know, you have your Better Call Sauls, you have all these other interesting shows, Discovery of Witches, Interview of the Vampire TV shows on AMC Plus. All that's interesting. But like Shudder is its own little corner and I kind of just want them to leave it alone.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. Yeah. I mean, Screambox might have to be where we find most of our horror stuff in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah. And frankly,
it makes me so sad because Shudder's been such a great platform for so long.
Yeah. Shudder has been in a little bit of a, like, I feel like they haven't had the quality titles they had last year. No. That might be because, you know, we're in the off season of movies in general. Sure. They're not trying to shake up the boat too much. And then over the summer, we're going to see some of the bigger stuff.
Yeah.
Husera, the bone woman. Just released on there, and that one is dope. That is a very cool movie.
Yeah.
I mean, they're also making a pretty big push about their scare package movies. Both of them are now available on Blu-ray. So that's the other thing that makes me hopeful for Shudder is that unlike somebody like Netflix, they are actually releasing their titles because that's a way for them to live on. Even if something were to happen to Shudder.
Yeah. And then someone like you collect the boxes. You collect the...
I mean, in the last year alone, I've purchased at least 4 movies that are Shudder originals. I bought The Tigers Are Not Afraid. I bought Scare Package 1, Scare Package 2. Mm-hmm. And I went ahead and I bought Mad God when it came out. So, like, Shudder is still, even though they're a streaming platform, they are still releasing their stuff. Yeah. And obviously Screambox is doing that as well. Because you can buy Terrifier 2. You can buy the Living with Chucky documentary. So it's interesting to see kind of where the economics of everything is going and how a small indie film like Terrifier 2 at $250,000 not only found its audience, made its money back, helped Bloody Disgusting continue to grow, and now is clearly launching a franchise. Yeah. And the question is, how wide is the franchise going to go and how much do they want to grow?
Yeah, I guess talking about horror in general, like I'm from Philly and they just opened up a monster vegan restaurant, right? Like are we going to be at a point where it's a part of the culture and less of like a subculture? And is that going to be good for horror or bad for horror? I don't know. I mean, like the thing I'm seeing is like now it's basic to do tarot card readings and be into crystals. Like, I was like, damn, dude, are we losing everything? Like,
that is fair. That I think aspects of what used to be the niche aspects of horror culture have gone mainstream.
Yeah.
And so, again, that's a reason why something like Terrifier 2 is working, is because it is finding an audience outside of just the core horror fans.
Right. Yeah.
And so, I mean, even just popping up on a sitcom or something like that, that is growth. It is a good thing. And like you said, there's also the side of it where we're talking about, you know, big budget studio movies are also competing. And so they're providing a more G-rated version of what horror can be.
Yeah, hopefully we just don't get the big boxes like coming in and pumping out a bunch of trash, right?
Well, yeah, so isn't that the concern, right? Like, we see, like, Marvel's kind of currently on its downturn. Right. We'll see what happens with DC and their movies this summer, but, I mean, the Shazam movie did not do well. Yeah. So is the age of the comic book movie over again?
Mm-hmm.
And then at that point, is horror the only thing that can keep the game in town? I don't know.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll see what happens. I'm kind of nervous for horror. I really am.
it feels like something like Terrifier 2 also just makes it very obvious that we have a lot of, there's just so much ground to cover in the genre as a whole.
Yeah.
That we're in a good place, but also we need to make sure that on the flip side, that studios don't think everybody can make a movie this good right. for $300,000.
Right.
That's another thing because, I mean, frankly, I think this is the last thing I wanted to close on with Terrifier 2.
Sure.
Is that even if I think that some of the effects are overkill and maybe some of the gore is too much.
Yeah.
At the same time, it is incredibly impressive that they pulled it off on that budget.
Yes.
Like that is actual masterful horror work
right.
that we haven't seen since Savini.
Yeah. And there's so much Savini effect, wasn't
and
there?
And if that's who he's going to be,
yeah.
who Leone's going to be, and he's going to be the next Savini,
yeah.
then we're really lucky, right?
Yeah.
The question is, will enough people get their eyes on it? And if they get their eyes on it, will they puke their guts? or is Leone going to get pulled in by a major filmmaker
and be like, dude, you got to tone it down?
Well, and do something like The Thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, let's pretend that like Jordan Peele calls him up and says, I want you to be my makeup effects artist on my next movie.
Yeah.
Like, damn. I mean, it could be both things are on the table. Like,
yeah.
Even if you and I are not always in love with some of the effects in this movie, he is clearly that talented.
Yeah.
Not only as a director, but as a visual storyteller, where he could really add an aspect to the right director.
Wow. That'd be sick. It'd be like, what's his name? From Alien.
I was gonna say it'd be like Geiger, it'd be like
Geiger,
Savini, it'd be like, you know, any number of people who you know have come in. I mean, it'd be like Rick Baker, right? Yeah. Who did the American Werewolf. There are some artists that transcend their genre. Right. And the question is, did Terrifier 2 do enough to put him on that level? Or is he going to continue to want to make his own movies? And I'm just curious to see what his next steps are. I think that's the biggest thing about this movie is it almost marks an inflection point for not only him, but for the genre as a whole and where it goes from here. Even if you don't love the Terrifier movies, it is going to be important.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's good. All right. Should we go through our awards?
Yeah, let's go through our awards. Okay, you know, we did kind of talk a lot about a certain kill, the alley kill. Do we want to follow up with that? Or do you want to say there's a better or different kill?
Well, because I was actually thinking about it because I was thinking about the awards. And I was going to say that the very first kill with the doctor and he's just beating the shit out of that dude's face.
Yep.
That's a pretty brutal kill.
It's a pretty brutal kill.
I think in most movies.
Yeah, I was also going to say the one in the bathroom towards the end of the movie.
Right.
Is also vile and disgusting.
Yeah.
So,
dude, he just beats her chest in and then rips her heart out and eats it. Yeah, that's pretty fucked
up. So, I mean, frankly, this movie has a shortage of it.
Yeah.
I'm okay with going with the opening one as well, if you are.
Well, I think we have to give it to Allie, right? The Allie kill.
Yeah, I mean, like, the Allie kill is a lot. I mean,
it's also the biggest thing is best kill. What is the actual name of the award that we gave?
The official award is best kill.
Okay. So it's the most intense kill, but best kill. I think if we're going to go to, like, the perfect level of, like, intensity that was, like, scary and messed up too, either the first kill or the bathroom kill. I think even the bathroom kill is too much.
Okay, so I think that's fair. So let's go ahead and go with the first kill just so we can find our natural leveling with the rest of the audience.
Yeah,
some people are definitely going to want to be the alley kill, and they're not wrong.
They're not wrong.
At the same time, maybe it was a little too much for us personally.
Yes, exactly.
All right.
Next award.
The Marion Crane Gone Too Soon Award. Feels like every character
yeah.
could have. So I'm going to go ahead and throw out two options.
Okay.
And you can go ahead and tell me which one you think. Okay. Mm-hmm. One, I think we have to include Allie because Roof. Yeah. Two, Ricky, the costume shop clerk.
Oh, yeah, I loved Ricky.
That character is not getting enough screen time.
No, he was awesome.
Yeah, so played by Jonathan Davis.
Yeah.
That character is in like one scene and then also gets brutally murdered. Yeah. And so...
he's just trying to do his fucking job. Get out of here, Art.
Yep. So I'm going to go ahead and say, yeah, that's my pick there.
I'm going to go there with that one too.
Okay, this is where we can go ahead and award... the alley kill for the Savini best effect in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
It is undeniably...
undeniably the best effect, right?
Yes. All like, there's so much blood, there's so much gore, and ultimately the thing that sways me on it is when the mom walks into the room...
Oh, yeah.
...and says, oh, Allie, and then the corpse moves.
Oh, oof. Yeah.
But it's undeniably the best effect.
Yep.
Absolutely. All right. How about the scared as shit moment?
Honestly, I think the little girl.
One that stood out to me was the possum scene in the hallway.
Yeah.
With the little girl and the possum and Art and the possum and the little boy being like, just like starting to get scared.
Yeah.
It was like really creepy.
Yeah. But don't you think that award should win the Norman Bates Award though? For the point in the movie where it all turns.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. You are correct that is where it really turns, because we more than just the girl seeing it now.
Yeah, I'm thinking of like the scariest moments in the movie. Oh, you know what is another brutal kill? There's so many brutal kills, but I think a scary moment for me just as a man is him just stabbing this dude in the dick. Like, oh, God. That's a scary thing to think about.
I will also go ahead and throw the hat in the ring for, I believe the character is Brooke, when Brooke is running from him.
Yeah.
And you know that the boyfriend is dead outside the car.
Yeah.
I think that scene is actually pretty terrifying.
That is actually really, really scary.
Yeah. So
where he writes in the blood. What did he write on the window?
I'm trying to remember. I
fucking forget. Yeah, but that was scary. That was a scary part.
It also doesn't help that... It sure does not help that they're on MDMA at that point.
Yeah.
So you are also wondering if they're just seeing stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, they were taking ecstasy or whatever.
Yeah.
She also... Okay, let's talk about her friends for half a second, then I won't talk about it anymore. Her friends are horrible. Her friends drug her.
Real quick, we're going to go ahead and give them a combination biggest regret and most overconfident. Just her friends.
Yes, exactly. Because they really didn't. I think the boyfriend gets the biggest regret.
Yes.
He's like not a bad dude. He's hanging out with his mean girlfriend and like gets his dick chopped off and stabbed. And
yeah. Yeah, I believe it was Jeff.
Jeff
does not end well for Jeff.
Overconfident. Ugh. Definitely the girlfriend though. Brooke, is that her name?
Yeah, Brooke.
Yeah. All right. What's the next one?
So I guess the last one's gonna be that Mandy Award, and I think
there's one more.
There's usually the icon check-in, but I don't know if I've seen a specific icon.
No, the Halloween. What's his name?
Oh, that's right. We renamed the award. I totally forget the Corey Award.
The Corey Award goes to the mom, hands down. She's horrible.
Yeah, I can't even argue with that. Yeah, no, that's definitely the mom. Barbara Shaw is the name of the character. The actress was Sarah Voight. Yeah. I feel bad for the actress because she doesn't really have a lot to work with in that role. No. But also, boy.
Yeah. Right. It was like sometimes I'll walk in and my grandmother's watching like soap operas. And there's some people that are pretty good, and then there's some people that are just like, I'm clearly watching someone act. Like, you know what I mean?
Yep.
All right, go ahead.
So I will also say that... Jesus Christ, I froze for a second. So in place of the Icon Award, we are going to quickly talk about the... the official wins that it got for the Fangoria Chainsaw Awards.
Right.
So it won 4 awards. It won Best Kill for Killing Alley. It won mm-hmm. Best Limited Release Movie.
Mm-hmm.
It won Best Makeup Effects. And it won the Editor's Eyeball Award for Laura Lavera. And again, Lauren Lavera is the actress who plays our lead in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a new award that they've recently started handing out for essentially a breakthrough award mm-hmm. in horror.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in limited release, they also had Orphan First Kill, Resurrection, Something in the Dirt, Mad God.
Mm.
Would you have voted for any of those movies instead?
No, I feel like that's a good one, right? That's a good place to go.
It's a good place to award it. I personally yeah. would prefer Mad God, but I mean... Yeah. You know, it's cool that an animated movie made yeah. the list. Like,
I haven't seen it, so I can't really speak to it. It's,
well, now yeah. that I have a copy, you can when you come Woo-hoo! Down, we'll watch it then. And then again, Best Makeup Effects, it was really that or Crimes of the Future.
Right.
And I'm okay with it going to Terrifier 2 in that circumstance.
Sure.
So, yeah. Overall, it makes a lot of sense that they won the awards they did.
Yeah, I'm okay with the awards that it's won. So what's the other one?
The last one's going to be the Mandy Award. So yeah. there's, to me, only two people that we should be considering for this. Mm. The first one should be Damien Leone.
Yeah.
He should be clearly in the discussion because no matter what happens from here, this is going to be the showcase reel that either allows him to make 10 more Terrifier movies
right.
or allows him to make the jump to big budget movies.
Yeah.
On the flip side, you've also got David Howard Thornton, who is killing it, literally,
right.
as Art the Clown, and is now starting to permeate pop culture as an iconic horror villain.
Right.
And we've seen what this has done for other people in the past. Like, Kane Hodder is still regarded as the Jason all yeah. these years later. Mm. You know, there's so many instances where a single person took on a horror role and then they just played it for the next 30 years.
Yeah.
I mean, heck, look at Freddy Krueger and Robert Englund, right? Like mm-hmm. he's still playing. I mean, he only finally gave up the claws in the last like 2 decades, but
yeah.
he played him for 2 decades first.
Wow.
So
killed it too. Yeah.
So who do you think is more deserving of the Mandy Award?
God, it's so hard between the two of them, right? Like, I think that they're both going to keep growing, right? Like,
it's
I don't
possible.
Know if this is going to be their peak at this point, right?
Yeah, because Lauren Lavera, we can pretty much guarantee she's going to be in other big stuff. So I'm not considering her for this.
Right.
I want to say that this is probably David Howard Thornton's Mandy Award.
Yeah.
Because yeah. I think that ultimately, now it's not going to be a surprise anymore that Art mm-hmm. the Clown is so popular.
Right.
Where I think that people who watch the movie may not realize who Damien Leone is.
Right.
Right. So he may become more famous in the future.
That's
where
true.
I think that the Art the Clown popularity is not an all-time high, but is now cemented.
Yeah.
In the minds
true.
Of a lot of people. And
that's
so
true. I like that logic. I'm with yeah. you.
All right, so do you have any other things you want to add?
No, I guess out in the horror genre, I just started listening to a podcast, Divisor.
Interesting.
And it's really, really good. Yeah. Anything out in the horror community you want to spread or share?
Well, I mean, we were talking about Shudder earlier. Definitely Scare Package 1 and 2, and that they're both on Blu-ray.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely something that people should be checking out.
Yeah.
I would also say that people should be keeping an eye out for a couple smaller movies that we're still like months away. I haven't even seen release dates on them yet. Big one that I think people need to start getting excited for is Talk to Me and start getting excited for Late Night with the Devil. Those are the two movies that I saw at South by Southwest. And let me tell you, they've got the goods. They've got the goods.
Yeah.
So start getting excited. Ready we've got it. Some very cool things on the horizon for the horror fandoms.
Awesome. All right, AJ, where can everyone find you?
So, fun fact, I have quit Twitter. We'll see how long that lasts.
Okay.
But you guys can still hit up the @BellaLugosiPod on Twitter. It emails me, and I can reach out accordingly if needed. But you guys can also email me at alan.french@sunshinestatecineplex.com. Mm-hmm. Ryan, how about you?
You can catch me at, I have to double check, I think it's keepitspooky09.
I believe that's on my Twitter
account. That's my Twitter handle. So yeah, hit me up there, and I guess I'll try to be updating the Bela Lugosi. AJ was so good at updating our Bela Lugosi. Now it's going to be all like fucked up weird memes.
Well, like... you know, now I have to be worried about it. Great.
It's like, Ryan, take that one down, please.
But, I won't know. So.
AJ's our brand manager. He's like taken he's given me the keys.
I'm gonna go ahead and hire a social media person so they can do it for us.
Yeah.
With our non-existent podcast money.
Yeah. All right. I think that's it. So all right. Thanks guys for checking in. Go ahead, H.
Yeah, is have a great time, and we just also keep an eye on this feed. We've got some really interesting things coming down the pipeline, especially in July. I think we've got a fun little mini series planned for July, so just keep an eye on that.
Awesome. I'm Spooky Ryan.
And I'm AJ.
Keep it spooky.